everybody, and welcome to episode 300, and holy crap, I did not double check. I don't know what number this is. It's like 327,
I think, maybe.
I think it was just 325 not that long ago, and then I think maybe I did 320. No, today, this episode is number 326. I am your host, Mark Kuznez. I will never forget my name, though I think maybe... No, I don't think I ever forgot my name on one of these episodes. But, you know, the date is a different story. Anywho, before I get to the meat and potatoes of this here episode, I want to give a little update on my attempt to go through my backlog, my movie backlog, by mentioning another classic that I ended up not liking. And that classic is Say Anything. So Say Anything is iconic because of the whole, if you don't know what it is, it's a romantic comedy, high school students, they both graduated, John Cusack, and I don't know who the female lead is, but it's iconic because it has him where he's holding the boombox above his head, blaring out a, I don't know, was it a Phil Collins song? But yeah, it was quite disappointing because I really do like John Cusack, and he's good in it. He was doing a very good John Cusack. You know, his typical, I don't know, 80s, early 90s Cusackiness. But I didn't really care for the female lead, and I thought the whole relationship between them wasn't that entertaining to watch, and it seemed like the passage of time was slightly out of whack. But what really annoyed me was the storyline of the girl's father, who is played by, I don't know the actor's name, I believe he's local, I think he's like from Oak Park or something, but he was Frasier's father. I didn't like the storyline of him and being audited or whatever, where they found out he was stealing from his clients for 17 years or something, because I just thought it was really unnecessary. And also, he was a very likable guy throughout the movie until it was revealed that he actually was a thief, even when he had concerns about his daughter continuing to be in a relationship with Cusack's character. He was still not awful about it. He just had concerns because Cusack really had no ambitions at all. And I would be concerned as a parent because it wasn't like he was in a kind of lower class job. It was that his aspirations were to become a professional kickboxer. You know, he thought it was an up and coming sport. And I guess that turned into what is now MMA, UFC, but he wasn't even sure if he was any good at it, only to know that he has never been knocked out. But he ends up turning into a real piece of work after it's revealed that he was, in fact, stealing from his clients, had a little container full of lots of cash for his daughter, and he just said some mean things, and he was very unpleasant individual. And I was like, I don't see why this has to be here. I guess it's so we don't like him because he's sort of the reason. Well, he's a big chunk of the reason why she splits up with him the first go around. Then they get back together in the end. Yay, yay, yay. But I just found it rather disappointing. And I originally thought it was a John Hughes movie, but it's Cameron Crowe, I think, who he's kind of hit or miss, I guess. I think he did Jerry Maguire, which I like a lot. And then Elizabethtown, which is something I think most people, or at least critically, it wasn't that liked. But I liked it quite a bit. I thought the chemistry was nice and I enjoyed the performances. Even though when I stand back and look at it, Kirsten Dunst's character looks a bit and just seems a bit psychotic. And stalkery and just really weird. But yeah, Say Anything, the newest movie to be put onto my everyone loves this but I don't list. I think the one before that was kind of the biggest differentiating thing between me and the masses was Field of Dreams, which I didn't care for. But yeah, can't win them all. Anywho, again, what I want to talk about on today's episode are a few games. Two big ones and then one I was going to say small, then I was going to say little, and then it turned into smittle. But a little indie game. So I'm going to talk about Dead Rising 4, Watch Dogs 2, and Beholder. Guess which one is the small little indie game? It's the one most of you probably haven't heard of. I'll start with the indie game. So, Beholder is, I believe it's only available on PC right now. And it's a game where you take over as the landlord of this apartment complex in, I don't know if it's a fictional territory or not. But you're basically there to spy on your tenants and to report them if they do illegal acts. You can choose not to, but then you'll be going against the government and you won't be getting benefits from them, etc. So it's one of those type of morality games like Papers, Please or This is the Police. Cart Life wasn't exactly like that, because it wasn't so much about morality, just trying to stay afloat. That I can remember. That was, I think, the first game in this line of choose your options and see where it all leads type of games. But Papers, Please is probably the most similar, just in tone and story, etc. But gameplay-wise, this is more of a sort of like a very, very smaller set sim tower where you and your family live in the basement apartment, and then you have three apartments on each side, three floors, two apartments per floor, and you can evict tenants and etc. You can file reports on them, all that stuff. You can spy on them by putting up cameras and doing all this stuff. And it's nice. I really like the art style. It has a very nice little sort of, not black and white, but very, it's not very colorful. Sort of black and white and brown, where lots of stuff are in shadow and dark. All the characters are basically shadows with white eyes. And it's fun. It's fun to a point. It's manageable because you do get a lot of time to complete various objectives and missions and jobs. So you're never really stressing to get something done really, really quickly, which was the case in something like Papers, Please, where you know, you're trying to get through as many people in line as possible before the day ends. But in Beholder, time management isn't really a concern. What becomes a concern is whether you are good, or if you're trying to be nicer to your tenants, or you're trying to be nicer, I guess, to yourself, being more beneficial to yourself by actually filing reports on these people and spying on them and all that jazz. You can even go into their apartments and steal their stuff, which doesn't seem to do much of anything other than give you something to sell, which probably won't give you much money anyway. But the thing about Beholder that is different from other games like this is that I never really felt any inclination to be good. I just felt like, okay, my job is to report on these people if they're doing something illegal. I mean, they have things like you can't, you know, starting now, you can not own any books by this author. You cannot sing in public. You cannot harbor fugitives, which makes sense, of course. You cannot I think there's some food related ones. Of course, you can't make drugs, etc. Some of them are pretty obvious, and then some of them are more like, oh, well, I don't know if you should really be sending people off to prison or potentially to be executed for that such act. But I never really felt inclined to be good or to, like, you know, be nice to my tenants, because I don't know, the game just never really made me feel like there was a reason to, or really even give me some sob sympathetic stories that made me want to help out my tenants. Whereas in, like, Papers, Please, which I'm bringing up a lot, you had stories like, you know, a mother or whatever is trying to get through with her daughter, you know, there's something along those lines, and only one of them had the correct papers, and I could fudge it and let them both through, or I could be the jerk and, you know, not let them through. And you know, there was things like that that really made you stop and think, what should I do? Should I be the nice guy and let them through, or should I obey the rules and be a strict Sally? Nobody's a strict Sally, but that's not the case in Beholder, not for me at least. And that's a bit disappointing, because I would like to be, you know, in most games I'm that way, but at the same time, you have certain parts of the story that involve your family and needing money because your daughter gets sick or whatever, that it really pushes you to be bad as well. But unlike This Is the Police, which is a game where I really wanted to be good, and the game just wouldn't let me be good because after a certain point, if I was too good, I would just get killed, which was annoying. I just didn't feel that in Beholder. But I think the biggest problem with it is that, and I believe it's $10. I don't think it's too much. I'm not sure. But at $10, it wouldn't be a terrible game to pick up. I really need to see how much this game costs, because the biggest problem with it is that there isn't much replayability, because the story goes about the same path pretty much. The missions and everything, when you start over, if you die for whatever reason, or your family dies, or, you know, whatever the outcome, you know, there are various endings, but getting through the game is always the same from start to finish, pretty much. And that means if you play it through a few times, you're going to get, things are going to get repetitive, and you're going to get, I don't know. It's just going to be, exhausting. It's disappointing, because I really do want to like the game. There are things that it does well, but overall, I just kind of wish it did a few things differently that it doesn't actually do, and that's a bit disappointing. It's worth checking out, and I was right, it's $10 Steam Play, so you can play it on Windows, Mac, etc. For $10, you know, not having a lot of replayability isn't a huge problem. If it was like $25 or something, I'd be like, oh god, that's terrible. But $10 for, you know, a solid 6-8 hours with multiple playthroughs, etc., not too shabby. I just really wish, more so than anything, that the morality aspect of it was more grayish. Not even gray. I just wish there was more making me want to try and be a better person. But instead, I didn't feel like I was in the game and trying to make these choices. I just felt like they put me in the role of this person who was already going to make these bad decisions, and I was just doing them. And I will also say that the writing is a bit weird, and that may be a translation thing, because this is I believe, like a Russian developer, so the localization and translation may not be that great. Because I mean, it's difficult to do that, especially if you don't have the money to get a really good team to do that. But Beholder on Steam, $10. Check it out. If you like those type of games, Papers, Please, This is the Police, etc., you'll probably enjoy Beholder, and $10 is not at all too much to ask for those who especially like these types of games. Anyway, moving on to the bigger games. I played a few hours of both Dead Rising 4 and Watch Dogs 2. I'm going to start with Dead Rising 4. I'm not really feeling the game so far, and that's kind of depressing because I've loved all the Dead Rising games except Case West. And one of my biggest problems with Dead Rising 4 is that I don't like Frank West. I specifically mean I don't like him in Dead Rising 4. I was never a huge fan of him. I wasn't like, oh my god, Dead Rising 2 didn't bring back Frank West. This is the worst. He's the greatest character ever. I didn't love Frank West like that. But Frank West in Dead Rising 4 is now just sort of a charmless douche. Whereas in the previous games, he was still kind of a douche, but he had a charm about him. And I think part of the lack of charm now is the changing of the voice actor and then the writing for him too. He just is kind of a dick and I don't like him. And every time he opens his mouth, I just wish he would immediately shut up. And I can't make him shut up unless I just turn the audio off. Or maybe I should turn the dialogue off completely. And then I just don't find it as fun. And I'm hoping that maybe it will more so now that I've reached the open part of the game, because it starts off with a very, very closed segment where you're kind of just moving down this linear path. Then it opens up slightly to where you're inside this mall, and then it opens up to where you're actually in the town. And I stopped playing before, like just before I got to the town. And I just wasn't having a lot of fun with it. I got to like level 17 or something, and it just wasn't doing much for me. Visually, it looks nice. It was running well. But I really don't like Frank West. That's the biggest thing. Like, Frank West is annoying as all hell. And I also don't like the fact that I can't save anywhere. I'm getting annoyed. This is the problem with Watch Dogs 2 as well. I hate games that just live off of autosaves, because I don't know when they're autosaving. And I don't know if I'm going to lose something. And it happens every time with Dead Rising 4. Even when I see reach like a checkpoint or something where I quit out and then I'm losing the last weapon I got or something, I load back up just to see where exactly it's loading me up. And it's pissing me off because I don't like this. Like, how hard is it to just implement a save system that even if it doesn't save you exactly where you are, but will save all of the items you've gathered and all the experience you've gathered and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. I don't need to be saved at the exact location. Put me at like some certain checkpoint that those are where like autosaves are or something, or where they just leave you. But let me at least save my progress. It drives me nuts. But yeah, I'm not really feeling it. All the little mini cars I've been in weren't that fun. I feel like Dead Rising 3 actually plays a bit better, but I need to play some more of Dead Rising 4. It just makes me appreciate Dead Rising 3 a whole hell of a lot more, even though I've already loved the hell out of that game. Like, Dead Rising, because it was the first and had this weird little charm about it, is still probably my favorite game in the franchise, but Dead Rising 3 is a very, very, very close second. And at times when I think about it, is actually my favorite. I think it's incredibly underrated. I think it's one hell of a launch title as well. And I think if you've never played a Dead Rising game and you have an Xbox One, pick up Dead Rising 3 because it's cheaper and you can get all the DLC and everything for it. And have a good time with that. If you like that, then you can go on to Dead Rising 4. But if you haven't played Dead Rising 3, just go with that first. I don't care about the removal of the timer, though oddly enough, you'd think that, and maybe this will be the case when I'm in the open world, that the lack of a timer would make me want to take my time and just explore, but I just kind of progressed through the store rather quickly. And it may just be because I'm like, oh God, I'm not really feeling this, so let's just get it done and over with. But that was a weird thing that was going on with me. And I thought I didn't care about the removal of psychopaths, but when they just added these like maniacs who are just slightly more powerful, regular people, I kind of do miss the psychopath now. Yeah. And then Watch Dogs 2, I like it. I like the silliness. I'm enjoying some of the new hacking abilities. It looks pretty. The maneuvering and like parkouriness of it is kind of nice, though sometimes I get annoyed when he jumps off of a high building and does a backflip. He's like, oh, look how cool I am. And the story, that's the kind of thing that is bugging me the most, is just how hipstery it is. And I'm just like, I don't like these people. I don't want to do anything with these. I feel like the one hacker who's with them who just kind of has no emotion, just like, yep, whatever, and says stuff with a very, very emotionless tone. But it's fun. The game's fun. I think some of the hacking things where you find stuff in the environment to hack and you have to figure out how to get there is confusing as to how you're supposed to solve these things and get either yourself in these positions or your rover there. And I feel like there are a lot of things that you just can't get to in the beginning, and I wish it was more apparent. And I'm just, there's some things that I wish it would be more explicit about. And I think the driving I really don't like, because it's very, very loose and arcadey, and it doesn't feel that good. You don't really have to brake at all, which is, I don't know, maybe some people like that. I don't like overly arcadey driving, especially in games like this. And yeah, I mean, I still have, you know, I've only put a few hours into it, as with Dead Rising 4, so there's still a lot to go through. I haven't messed with co-op, but I'm liking it. I did like Watch Dogs 1, and this one I'm enjoying more gameplay-wise. But, yeah, I think that will do it for this here episode. I've said so many times in today's episode, it's crazy. Anyway, anywho, any poo? No poo. No poo. Never mind poo. Pee-pee. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Pee-pee is something you get in Dead Rising. You still get your pee-pee for the camera. The camera bit's kind of annoying, too. They've introduced now a night vision thing in your camera, and a kind of, I don't know, it's like a detective mode in the camera where you can spot things, and you use it to get into certain doors by checking the fingerprints on a keypad, which doesn't really do anything other than make getting in through a doorway slightly longer. It's like, okay, you could have just figured this out some other way, or just let me open the door like a normal person, but no, you wanted to put this thing in there. But yeah, that will do it for today's episode. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Huznes. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, all the usual places, at PX Sausage. On PSN, I'm The Kush 3. That is The KUSH number 3. This site is, of course, pixelatedsausage.com, where you can find this podcast, all the other podcasts, and other jazz, as well as the art I do. And if you like the art I do, you can go over to pxsart.com and pick yourself up a print or two. Get somebody a nice little piece of art for the holidays. Do it, because who doesn't want something like that? Yeah. And of course, if you'd like to support the site in general with a buck or whatever every month, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and chip in that away. So that will do it. As always, also go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the show if you haven't already, because that is always very, very helpful and greatly appreciated. And that is where I shall end it. Okay. Okay. Bye.